The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we gotta do.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
The absolute worst!
I have found that they do work much better if you turn them on.
We like to try bold new directions here at Basically
right.
Sports Show.
Like using live microphones. I thought I was going to have to yell out the window for a minute there. We've got a couple new NBA uniforms, too, that came out. I think this will be our fifth straight show we've talked about the NBA, which is by far and away a record.
Well, to be fair, the NBA is most interesting in the offseason because once the actual season starts, it's just the slow, inevitable grind towards Cavs, Warriors 4.
NBA fans enjoy this because it's not going to last.
And it is a slow drip of league-wide uniform unveilings, which we love. That's what that is.
I think we left off with my Cleveland Cavaliers last week, and since then we've had Denver, Minnesota, the Clippers, who I'm going to say I'm a little bit surprised by, and who was the most recent one? Or is that it?
For some reason, I thought there was another team, too. Oh,
is it the Jazz?
Phoenix.
No, Phoenix, right.
Phoenix unveiled theirs, but strangely enough, the mothership doesn't actually have a news item on it. So
yeah, what's
I
that
guess
all
they
about?
Were just that. I guess they were just that uninspired. And I'm just going to be incredibly hard to please, but anything that's not the 90s look for the Suns is just going to be like inferior to me because I love that 90s Suns look so much that every new uniform they come up with that's not that, I just go, well, why aren't you wearing your good uniforms?
I found an article on them.
Okay. So. There we go. Let's take a look at this. They're not terrible. They're fine. They're kind of like the Cavs uniforms. They're not great. They're not bad. They're just there.
To me, they kind of just have the same problem that the Cavs uniforms have in that it's just kind of a generic template. Like the most Phoenix Sunsy thing that happens is on the shorts with the
right.
See, I loved, and I think they've done it in a couple of variations where they've had that Sun logo like on the side of the shorts somehow, or you know, mm-hmm. they did it across the jersey. That is such a cool logo.
And it's something that they've always had through like every uniform incarnation, I think.
Yeah, and they need to utilize that more. That's just too small. There's not enough of it. But these are like Zach said, they're fine.
They
kept the word mark that reads the same upside down and right side up. So good for them.
So the players can look down while they're playing and see Suns.
Be reminded
like, I play for the Suns.
I play for the mighty Phoenix Suns.
I actually like the road uniform. I think
which one's the road uniform? Like we don't
The purple uniform, the association the icon.
Icon.
Yeah, see, like Zach, you're using such outdated terminology here. Come
like
on.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's 2017, Zach. Come on.
Right.
Yes.
Get with the program, dude.
I like it's just a good shade of purple. I think it works for a full uniform. And I like that it says Phoenix rather than PHX. Or
yes, I agree completely.
I was a bit worried that we were going to get PHX after Sacramento just had SAC.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate because their jersey sponsor is a nut company.
True.
That's right. They're blue almonds, right?
Yeah.
Almonds. Yeah.
Oh, how great is that? Speaking of that, of sponsorship, I just want to throw in that the Milwaukee Bucks are now my new favorite team in the NBA.
Oh, what is
with
that?
The Harley-Davidson. Yeah. I love that. But actually, that's a very, very smart move by the Bucks to use them as an advertiser. I think DG now brought it up on the boards. It's really not very bright of them. I'm sure it's a league-wide thing, but boy, if they could sell those jerseys outside the arena, I promise you, a whole lot of Harley people would buy those things. I mean, just leaving a bunch of money sitting on the table by not making them available to the public throughout, I think.
Oh, I'm sure the whole point of this is to make money, so I'm sure someone has done their research and they'll be selling them.
But yeah, surprisingly, DG now with a good take on the Harley lifestyle, which is something I think he would be absolutely and entirely unfamiliar with, but he hit it right on the head.
You know, sometimes people surprise you.
Yeah, I mean, he was absolutely right though, and I do believe that Harley riders, I would buy one, but that's because I'm a uniform geek and a Harley Davidson rider, so it works out for me.
And And former Milwaukee Bucks fan.
And former Milwaukee Bucks fan. This is true, yeah. Way back when I was a kid. My man Kareem played for the Bucks, and that was my team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the old the ones that just said Bucks across the front, the orange, I think they had a black outline, and I forget, but way, way a long time ago.
So the Suns ones, nice.
Yeah, fine. Okay.
The Clippers ones, I think, very nice.
Very, very pleasantly surprised by these. They
I got a break with that. I got a break with that for the Clips. I got my issues.
Really? What?
I think fundamentally they're still using that same stupid logo. And
yeah,
I understand that you probably couldn't change the logo. That was probably the one thing that was supposed to last. So of course they're gonna use it, but it's still not good. And I don't like how the nautical flags are just this little hidden feature above the jock tag, which you won't even see on game jerseys. Because like the nautical flags, in my opinion, should be like the Clippers design their signature design element. And
yeah,
I don't know.
I think these are a huge improvement. They look a whole lot better.
They still are a huge improvement over what they had. I'm just a bit underwhelmed.
I actually like the alternating red and blue stripe on the shorts. I think that looks pretty cool. And you know, and red and white on the blue shorts, obviously.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike, that the having the nautical flags, like one of the most interesting things you could put on your jersey if you're the Clippers, to hide them inside the shorts is stupid.
But you know, it's probably a hidden compartment like those Cavs.
Right. Like those are something that could easily be put on the belt buckle thing or down the sides of the shorts. Those would be great. The thing that I like the most is that I think the biggest problem, well, there's the two big problems I had with the last Clippers jersey were they didn't change the template. They just slapped a new word mark on the front of the old template.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they used the black version of the word mark. Here, it's blue. It's team colors. The only black is the swoosh black, and I think that's it.
Everything else
is blue and red.
Just the swoosh and the logo on the shorts.
Right. But everything else is blue and red.
Oh, they are using that Price is Right logo on the shorts, though, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, but these still look a lot better. I mean, man, oh, man, I was very, very pleasantly surprised by these. They look pretty good.
But if you click on the Mothership article, you get to see some of the Nike speak for this one.
Oh, wow. On the
shorts, you know, down the side. Where they have the stripe, they have these little gray lines.
Oh, yes. No.
Those are supposed to represent the hull of a ship and the horizon.
Oh, bullshit.
They do realize that the hull of a ship and horizon are two separate things.
Yeah. Like
the hull plus horizon. It's both of them.
That's stupid.
Where the lines, the stripes, how they're different colors, are supposed to be a reference to their nautical heritage.
I don't see how.
How?
Inspired by maritime navigational lights.
I don't.
Oh wow, that might be the biggest stretch we've had yet.
Oh, and this is great how they read this with red on the left in parentheses port side, blue on the right parentheses starboard side.
So basically, some designer at Nike got himself a speedboat, and he's going through a phase, and he thinks he's a fucking sea captain now.
I want the job. I want the guy. I want to be the guy that writes Nike speak, because man, oh man, you can just come up with any kind of bullshit you can think of and put it out there, and it's good enough.
If I got that job, I would challenge myself, like each new uniform, how more ridiculous can I make it before someone says something? Like, I'm just going to keep going until they tell me to stop.
The other thing that's a little chintzy, the nautical flags that I like, that I wish were more prominent, they don't say LA Clippers. They say Clipper Nation.
Oh, God.
The nautical flags.
It's they got that part wrong. We've been over this. It's like Clipper Bus Stop, Clipper Corner, Clipper Living Room. There's no
Clipper
Nation.
Cul-de-sac.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's no Nation involved here.
We'll see how big Clipper Nation is when the Lakers finish higher in the standings than them this season.
Well, and when LeBron and Kyrie Irving both end up with Los Angeles, we'll see how the Clippers are doing then when they're both Lakers.
Didn't Kyrie Irving not want to be in LeBron's shadow?
There is this theory going around that Believe it or not, and this didn't start here. This started with maybe Bill Simmons or someone, but that Kyrie Irving and LeBron are staging this whole thing so that it looks like they don't want to play together, so that Kyrie can move along to the Lakers and then LeBron will follow him out there in 2 years or whatever, however it's going to work out. So yeah, there is a theory, or I should say a conspiracy theory, that thinks that this is all being staged by those two players so they can end up playing together without making it look like it did in Miami when they did the big three thing. I don't know that I buy it, but it's out there, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Clippers, the little nitpicks aside and the dumb logo aside, I think they look pretty good. This is probably the best you could hope them to look with this current logo set, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think they look a whole lot better. And like you said, Zach, this is about the best we could hope for with what they've got to work with.
And the only team that's, at least this week, that's done any sort of interesting or unique design would be the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I'm not sure where I'm at on this one just yet. I know a lot of people like it, but I don't know yet. I'm of two minds on it.
I'm kind of with you on that. I don't know if I like it or not either. The one thing I would say that I think it got wrong is I wish the uniforms had more green in them.
Right. Yeah. I hated to see the green go the way it did. I mean, because green was pretty prominent, their old color scheme, wasn't it?
Green was pretty prominent, and they used it in the logos and all that, but they also used it in the tree-shaped trim, like on their collars, on their shoulders. So, yeah, I agree that it needs more green. And I think trying to put that trim in there somewhere, because that's something that's been pretty unique about the Timberwolves jerseys throughout their history, and to see that kind of go away is bad. I actually like these. I like the design on the jersey itself up on the shoulders. I'm not a fan of them, you know,
repeating it on the shorts.
I don't like it on the shorts, because what it looks like, especially because they have the logo on the upper stripe of this thing. So for those again that are listening and don't have a picture in front of you, on the shoulders, it's basically like a shoulder yoke, like a hockey jersey shoulder yoke, then a thin stripe and a thin stripe, you know, of navy blue, white, and royal blue. And then they mirror it. So on the home jerseys, it's, you know, a stripe of royal blue, a stripe of white, and then a big chunk of navy blue that goes down the rest of the shorts. And the logo is centered on that upper stripe, so it makes the shorts look shorter. Like if you scroll down on the article, mm-hmm. where they have like the glamour shots, these pictures with the shadows and stuff, the first time I saw these, I thought the shorts ended at the white.
Yeah, and that bottom picture, it looks like they do. You cannot tell that there's a navy blue stripe below that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like it and obviously it's not going to look like that when they're on the court and you see them, but it's just, it's a weird thing to make the shorts look shorter than they are, and I don't know. It's weird.
I will say this about these. I think this is one of the best looks they've had over the years, because they've had some real clunkers, I think, over their time. The thing that troubles me a little bit about it are the short stripes. I think we could have done without that. I like the idea of the logo matching the stripe and all that, but the extra, they went one stripe too far on the shorts, I think. But it seems very derivative of Washington to me, with the stripes on the top and all that, which is fine because that's kind of a style. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I like them, but then I look at them, I go, do I? I'm not sure yet. So probably when it's all said and done, I will end up liking these more than I do right now, because I think they've got some really cool aspects to them and all that. But right now I'm still kind of in the getting to know them phase, I suppose, for lack of a better way of describing it.
Yeah, and Mike? Again, the only place you're going to find green is on that chunk at the bottom of the shorts.
Yeah,
the entire jersey, which is a shame.
What do you think, Mike?
I'm not a big fan of the I think I would like these more overall if there was more green in the striping. Like you really don't need the double blue. I would have made probably the lighter shade of blue green and just run with that. Just as it is now, it's fine, but a bit bland, and a missed opportunity, because I think the uniform designs are a bit, I like the uniform designs. I think the fonts look good. It's just the color scheme lets it down. It could have used more green.
Let me run this past you guys for a second. I just thought of this. I thought of what I think I don't like about them. I don't think this look works for the name of that team. A team named the Minnesota Timberwolves shouldn't look like this. That would be a good look for, oh, we'll say the Indiana Pacers, for example, or the Cleveland Cavaliers. I just don't know that the identity of this team works with this look. And I think that's what troubles me about it, which is a really stupid nitpick, but
yeah,
but that's where we are.
If it's just the Minnesota Wolves, which it basically is.
I don't know. I think a team named like the Wolves or the Timberwolves, it's got to be bolder than this. And I think that's where the green comes back into things. This is just not very bold. And that's kind of I don't think of Wolves or Timberwolves as being a laid back thing. And these are kind of laid back.
The design itself would work if there was green in it. I think that's pretty easy to fix. And the other thing, like, as I'm staring at these things a little bit longer, it's so painfully obvious as to why this design is the way it is. The stripe is just big enough to fit the swoosh and the ad placement perfectly inside that stripe.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, when the Seahawks unveiled their current uniforms and they had that little insert on the sleeves that just so happened to perfectly highlight the swoosh.
Yeah. I mean, probably no coincidence that it's a navy blue and neon green team.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah. Those are the NBA uniforms.
Oh, we forgot Denver.
Oh, Denver. Denver's.
I'm disappointed. I think this is a fine looking uniform, but I'm really disappointed with it.
Yeah, it's boring.
It's boring. You could have gone back to the old 80s Nuggets look with the city skyline and the mountains and stuff, and you didn't. And you went navy blue. I mean, it's a fine uniform, but wow, talk about a missed opportunity. It's not bad. It's not ugly or anything, but I'm just so disappointed. This is the route they chose to go with these.
Huge drop ball. Could have been better.
Do you guys want to take a quick 5-minute spin around the block with the new Major League Baseball Players Weekend softball jerseys that they're all going to be wearing?
Yeah. Because these are fucking...
Oh, they are so bad.
What is the point of all of this again?
I guess to get Walmart some jersey sales.
It's supposed to invoke Little League jerseys.
Why? Well, they did that.
Because it's Players Weekend, and the Pirates and the Reds are going to play a game at Williamsport. Where the
good for them.
Played.
Do they have to look like jackasses while they do it?
Yeah, they're trying to make it just look like Little League jerseys. That's what Little League jerseys look like. But here's the thing. You're the major leagues. You are not the little leagues.
Right.
The little leagues look like the little leagues, and you look like the major leagues. For example, you know, all these teams are bad in their own rights, but the one that just, like, as I scrolled through them, the one that looks so inherently wrong is the Yankees.
I was going to go with Dodgers, but I agree with the Yankees, too.
The Yankees, it's like they've never used that cursive script on anything except for the jackets.
Yeah, it's the dugout jackets have been the only ones, yeah.
And, you know, they've been a team, to their credit, that has kind of stayed away from these things. And yeah, they'll change the hat when they have to, but there is never a time that the Yankees aren't wearing pinstripes, and they're going to be wearing these for a home game in Yankee Stadium. And it's just absurd to me.
If that was my first ever game at Yankee Stadium, I'd be so pissed.
The fans are not reacting to it well at all. They are basically telling them, no, you stay in your pinstripes. I mean, you want to play you want to do this shit. If you're playing a game in Milwaukee or somewhere, fine, go ahead. But you do not do this on the sacred ground that is Yankee Stadium. And I can't say that I argue with that too much. I agree.
Yeah, you know, I hate the Yankees, but I like that mentality. Good for them.
Yeah.
There are a couple that I like. I mean, I like the Reds one. I like the Rockies for what they are. I like the Padres.
I was going to say, I kind of think the Padres, too. Yeah, I kind of like that one, yeah.
The Cardinals one looks pretty okay. I hate the Angels one. I hate when they use that flat script where it's not arched. It just doesn't look like it fits on the jersey.
No, it kind of looks scrunched.
Yeah, and then everything else is bright and obnoxious and awful.
Mm-hmm.
The worst, I think, has to be the Mariners.
Mariners one's pretty bad.
Because they kept the teal and blue for the jersey, but then they went like bright baby blue and yellow for the cap.
Yeah. I mean, it's them with the baby blue. The Astros have never worn baby blue. Blue Jays with the baby blue. It's just like,
well, what's with the Nationals? That looks like, I mean, now maybe it's just my screen, but is that black or is that brown?
It's black. The Nationals are wearing black, but the hat is
red and blue.
Baby blue.
Yeah.
Why are they black?
I don't know.
They've
never used black. Not
no.
Once.
That Chicago White Sox jersey. That Chicago White Sox set makes me sad.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble distinguishing who's who here. Let me see. Let me find the White Sox.
It says Sox.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the Tigers, like, they've got, like, a gray jersey, and they've got navy script, but the caps are orange of a baby blue tiger.
With an actual tiger. The
What's with all the baby blue? Tiger. What's that all about?
It's, I don't know.
Did New Era just have, like, a surplus of baby blue thread, and they were trying to figure out a way to get rid of it?
Oh, you know, I mean, honestly, that might not be too far off the mark, because I remember one year when I played Little League, everybody had yellow hats because I guess they got a deal on them or something. No matter what your team you play for, like, you know, if your colors were red and black, you had a yellow hat.
And,
so I don't know.
And the Braves are going for a cap with the tomahawk on it, which always looks weird to me. It's just such a awkward, weird.
But logo. They look like the jerseys that Walmart can get licensed for. The ones where you can't get the primary logo and all that, so you get like the second and third markers and all that stuff, and that's what they end up with. That's what these look like. I thought softball jerseys. I forgot about the Little League connection, but yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what they are.
And I get the reason that they're doing this. They're trying to quote unquote have fun, and it's supposed to be. But like,
here's an idea: make your game more fucking interesting. That's how we have fun.
Yeah, and I get that they're trying to invoke Little League, but here's the thing: when they play, when these games go on that weekend, they are going to look like actual children. And I know that's. I understand that's sort of the intent, but it's just not good. It's not something we need. And of course, the worst part about it all, you know, the jerseys are bad enough, but this is also going to be the weekend with all the nicknames and crap on the jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And some of the nicknames are fine because that's what they are. Or that's a slogan associated with that person. Fine. I looked at the Angels jerseys. Like they put out a list of all the Angels players. I couldn't name. I could name four of them maybe and be like, oh yeah, sure, that's that player's name. But so like Albert Pujols is the machine on his jersey. Fine, whatever. What do you think is on Mike Trout's jersey? What's Mike Trout's nickname?
Kid.
Right.
What?
K-I-I-I-I-D. Kid. That's Mike Trout's nickname, apparently.
I'm going to tell you, there's one, number 48, that I'm a little troubled by with the Angels. I thought we were kind of past the days we were allowed to call someone Kike. I'm just saying. God.
Yeah?
Or there's what's that thing called? Maybe it's Kiki.
But I think it's Kiki.
It sure looks a lot like Kike to me, and probably not the best word to be using these days, especially after the past weekend, but okay.
I'm sure it's Spanish and it's Kike.
Okay. Well, good.
Well, they better make sure the PA guy is aware of that.
Yeah.
That could get unfortunate quickly.
Go south in a hurry.
And the other thing, like of all of them, there's only one that sticks out to me that I really like in the entire league. Like, yeah, there's some guys that have their regular nicknames and they work and it's fine. But Kyle Seager of the Seattle Mariners, his brother is Corey Seager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Corey Seager is a very good player. And Kyle Seager is an okay player.
He'd be a pretty good player, too. Not as good as Corey, but he's pretty good.
Right. So Kyle's jersey that weekend is going to read Corey's brother, which is great. The Padres have some guy with that's going to be named Churro for the weekend. Great. Sure.
But I like
there's a list of bad ones that I need to try.
Was it the Astros that have two guys named Snapdragon? Who am I looking for here? Yes, you've got Snapdragon 1 and Snapdragon 2. I don't know what that means.
I don't know, man.
George Springer got really creative with his, didn't he? It says Springer on the back. McCann, Brian McCann sticking with his regular name.
Yeah, there's guys thinking with the regular names where you have guys like Clayton Kershaw is just going to be Kersh.
Oh, so we're doing the hockey thing, basically.
Yeah,
then.
That's a hockey nickname.
Could you imagine if they did, like, Pee Wee Weekend in hockey?
Oh.
It'd just be, like, everybody's name, just half of everybody's name with an ER or a Y at the end of it.
I'm just thinking that for the Williamsport game between the Pirates and the Reds,
yeah,
there's probably going to be kids that go to this and people that maybe never go to a major league game that are going to get to see this. And I would be really disappointed to have a team show up and not be in their major league uniforms for this game.
Yeah.
There's going to be kids there that's going to be the first time they've ever seen a major league game. And they're going to look at these teams and go, why are they wearing jerseys just like ours? We wanted to see the real Pirates jerseys. And the Reds and Pirates both have really good looks. I don't know. I just think the whole thing's dumb.
The one that really strikes me now that I'm looking at the whole league's worth, that Philly set, man, that is just weird. Because the jersey itself is vintage white cream with red shoulders and a red P outlined in blue on the chest. But then the cap is this bright red with a baby blue Liberty Bell. Like, something about the super bright, Little League colors paired with the old school vintage white, but instead of a classic jersey, it's a pullover. It just looks so weird.
I remember when they announced this, I said, this is going to be really stupid. And it turns out I was right.
You know what this looks like? This looks like someone in the concept section was like, hey, guys, I redesigned all of baseball.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you just use the same template and use click and fill. And then you messed up the proportions on everyone's ward mark when you resized them. Good job.
Like, I thought I clicked off of the Mothership article, but I think down the way they had, like, what the matchups were going to be. And, like, so they put the jerseys next to each other. And just, I don't know. I don't need this. Major League Baseball doesn't need this.
No, it doesn't. Because it's one of the few sports where really even the bad uniforms are all pretty good. I mean, like, I would say the worst uniform in the league is probably the Padres. Which, in a vacuum, I forgot about those disasters. I always forget about those. But, okay, Arizona is the only team in baseball, really, that has a uniform where you say, wow, those are just bad. The Padres, the worst thing you can say about it is it's boring. But in a vacuum, taking away the Brewers and all the other teams that they're trying to be, it's not a bad look. And I don't know why they're doing this. This is just stupid. And I don't see these selling. I mean, unless kids buy them. But why? Again, if you're a kid and you want a jersey, are you going to go to the Pirates website and go, I'll take one of the jerseys that looks like my Little League jersey? You're going to take the real thing. I'd want the real thing. I don't understand this at all. I don't understand it. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Kind of like I thought it would be. But
I like the idea of using some bright colors. And some of these things have some ideas where, say, if you're the Rockies, maybe that's an idea you can build upon. I wouldn't want that to be like their full-time look or anything. But there are some nice things, some kernels of ideas. It's just not something that we need to see on every team across the league for an entire weekend. Especially some of these teams, like the Dodgers, the Dodger blue is a thing. Why would I want to see the Dodgers wearing baby blue caps?
Yeah.
If I want to see the Dodgers, I want to see the Dodgers in Dodger blue.
And that D cap logo always looks bad. It looks like a Soviet hockey team.
Yeah.
Dynamo Moscow.
Yeah. I think Dynamo Moscow's logo is a curse of D like that.
Yeah.
It worked on the batting practice cap that they tried to wear. And then when batting practice caps just became alternate caps, it was stupid. But like the Dodgers hat is blue, Dodger blue, with an intersecting LA in white on it. That's like,
it's perfect.
That's
it. Oh, one of the best hats ever. Come on.
Yeah. You know, you look at that and you know exactly what it is. You look at this Dodger hat and you don't know what it could be for.
Well, the regular D hats that are on the Dodger blue always make me think of the Dallas Cowboys, because they don't have a hat that's got the same, but they have that D hat that they wear like sometimes, and that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Dodgers have to have that interlocking LA. It's as simple as that.
And ultimately, like we said, these are supposed to be just to do something fun and different and whatever, but This is the major leagues. You know who does this sort of crap? Minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, minor league baseball does this because they have to. In the little leagues, they wear the jerseys they wear because they're cheaply produced. You're not making major league quality jerseys for 10-year-olds.
Right. They wear what they can afford.
Right. There's no reason that Major League Baseball should be doing this. And I understand their reasoning. I just think it's dumb reasoning. And us as educated, smart adult baseball fans don't need this garbage.
No.
If I were dictator of baseball, not only would this not happen, but whoever proposed it would have been shot and buried in the concrete at Tropicana Field.
Yeah. Look, the Chargers made their triumphant arrival in Los Angeles.
Return to Los Angeles.
That was the other thing. Okay. They made their triumphant return to a resounding thud. The attendance in Los Angeles over the weekend for all sporting events. The Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, 62,888 people for the Rams and Cowboys on Saturday. The Dodgers, 53,000, 52,000, and 46,000 in their three games against the Padres all weekend. The Galaxy playing New York FC. The Galaxy having one of their worst seasons in a decade or so, 25,667. The Chargers for their first game in Los Angeles. Yes, it's a preseason game, but it's their first game in L.A. Last year, the Rams' first game in L.A., a preseason game, they got 80,000 people in the Coliseum. The Chargers get 21,054, 4,000 less than the Galaxy. Based on that Chargers attendance from last night, that is lower than the average attendance of the Chicago Blackhawks, the Montreal Canadiens. It's lower than the average attendance of the Chicago Bulls. It's lower than the average attendance of 8 MLS teams.
Wow.
Atlanta, Seattle, Toronto, Orlando, New York City FC, LA Galaxy, Vancouver Whitecaps, Portland Timbers.
21,000. That's like middle of the road Major League Baseball attendance, and they play 81 freaking games.
And the worst part about this is there were actually some like Charger advertisements that they tarped over some seats with.
Oh my.
And I thought, well, maybe they're just gonna do it for the preseason, but it looked like that's what they want it to look like for whatever reason. The tickets are super expensive. The atmosphere, like watching all the pregame stuff, they open up the broadcast, they do a little intro, and they say, okay, well, we're going to send it out to our man John out in the parking lot. John's there with some tailgating fans. You know, John, what's up? He points to a table behind him. A guy is wearing a Tampa Bay Rays shirt and Oakland Raiders hat. And another guy is wearing a Seattle Seahawks hat. They go to the next batch of people. He's like, oh, look, they got a big tailgate here. He's the king of the tailgates out here. Green Bay Packer hat.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I just want to see some football.
Right.
Every single shot they did when they went back out to the parking lot, somebody in a Raiders shirt or hat or something walked in front of the screen.
Why couldn't we have gotten the Raiders instead?
It was hilarious.
Something else to think about, too. That was their first game, which you would think that there would be a little bit of interest in that, just out of curiosity, if nothing else, right?
Huh?
But to make matters worse, they don't even come close to selling it out, and they just got their asses handed to them by the Seahawks.
They got their ass kicked. 48-17, if you look at the score bug, too, that I put in there.
You mean little, San Diego?
On the ticker on the bottom of the screen, the ABC station that was broadcasting it, their score ticker said Seattle 48, San Diego 17. Oh, and Dan Fouts? How do you spell Dan Fouts' name?
F-O-U-T-S.
Yeah. F-A-U-T-S, if you want to ask ABC7.
Oh, my God.
There were empty seats. There were apparently a lot of Seahawks fans. As you could expect, there are going to be a lot of opposing fans at all of these things. Through the offseason, the people that were trying to be positive about this, well, it's an intimate experience. You're going to be in close to the field. It's going to be a different experience than the rest of the NFL. It is going to be very much that, because you want to know why? Now, once I thought about it after somebody pointed out in one of these articles, it makes a whole lot of sense. Every time that you've ever gone to an NFL game, if you have, when you go, you're just kind of amazed by the amount of people that are there. That, you know, everybody's there 3 hours early to tailgate. There's 100,000 people just in the parking lot. People hang out in the parking lot while people go into the games. There are 80,000 people at all these stadiums. It's a large experience. The NFL is a large product with a lot of people, and it is just capital letters, B-I-G, big. This is not that. people were saying, yeah, well, it's quieter. It's smaller. The stadium's nicer for sure, but it's just, it's smaller. The tailgating experience isn't what it was because you don't have just the sheer amount of people that are going to be hanging around the stadium just to hang around. And yes, it's just one preseason game. Maybe things correct themselves when the regular season comes around. Nonetheless, if this is what it's going to be, it's going to be just one of the biggest raging dumpster fires we've seen in sports.
We call that.
Yeah, we've known that all along.
Yeah, but like even somebody that was trying to be positive about it, it's like, well, maybe they can bring a different experience. Maybe it will be an interesting experiment but they're charging too much. They don't have anything anybody really wants to see. And as they learned, nobody gives a damn. People told them this for a while. And then when training camp kind of riled back up, there was a lot of, no, see, there's a bunch of Charger fans here. I don't think none of those people were at the game. They didn't sell out the first LA Chargers game. Did not sell out.
Even in a 27,000 seat stadium, by the way. We're not talking about trying to sell out the Coliseum here.
Right.
I'm looking at the crowd shot right now. This is bad.
You can say that it's just preseason, but it's still 27,000 seats.
This is great. I'm watching this video of tailgaters, and there's this one table that they focus on, and it's two Seahawks fans and a guy in a Broncos t-shirt.
Right. And speaking to the parking, a Charger fan got his season tickets, got his parking pass, and this is the fine print as it reads on the bottom of the parking pass. Parking permits are valid for the date listed only. The Qualcomm Stadium parking lot opens 5 hours before kickoff.
Probably the highest curiosity point you were going to have would be this game. This was going to be the one that would bring people out to see, okay, what do we have here? What's this product that we get to take a look at? Sure. And no one showed up.
That was the same thing last year with the Rams, where, like, you know, I'm kind of wiping it away saying it's just the first preseason game. Maybe it's better by the regular season. When the Rams came, there was so much focus on that first game.
Yeah.
The first preseason game is against the Cowboys, and they sold the damn thing out nearly. And then when the regular season opener came, they got 100,000 people in there. You think about maybe people are trying to wait their time. Maybe they watch the game on TV and see what the deal is, and maybe they'll show up later. They actually got a higher rating in San Diego than they did in L.A.
I don't doubt it.
Oh, this is
this was a disastrous move from the get-go, and it's going to be
there's a reason why when this move happened, there were reports almost immediately that were like the NFL was furious Dean is actually doing this.
No one except Dean Spanos wanted this to happen. No one else.
It's like the NFL really only gave him the option as a courtesy. And they were like, all right, we'll give him the option. It'll make him feel like he won something. But Dean, don't you fucking do it. And then he went ahead and did it.
I just don't see how this ever works out for them. They're always going to be the eighth team on a list of eight teams in that town. No one gives a shit about them. You can come in and fight all you want. Fight for LA, fight for Orange County, fight for Costa Mesa, fight for all that stuff. You're not going to win any of those fights.
I think Zach said it best. Hashtag fight for LA. Hashtag lose to MLS.
Yeah. In their first trial run, that's what happened. And maybe things change. Maybe things get kind of worked around and maybe more people show up. But for most of the people that I saw that were being talked to, there's some new fans that have been made up here. There are also some fans in the LA Orange County area that are going to go to these games. And there are even some fans that drove all the way up there. But even with that, they couldn't sell out a 27,000 seat preseason game. The Chargers are the Clippers in abbreviation LAC and status in this town.
I'm looking at their schedule right now. Sunday, November 19th, they play the Bills. What do you think they're going to draw for that? How about this one on December 3rd? The Cleveland Browns, the mighty Cleveland Browns, come to town to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Oh, now the Browns do have a strong contingent of fans in San Diego. I don't know if they make the trip up to L.A. They probably will, but it's not going to be in the thousands.
I would not be surprised to see that stadium actually be close to full with Cleveland fans.
And I'm telling you, when we get to the middle of the season, and if this team's bad, and they're playing teams like the Browns and the Bills and the Jets are coming to town, forget it. Nobody's going to be there. It's just not going to happen. We saw Rams attendance fall off last year. Imagine what's going to happen to these guys.
Rams attendance falling off was getting into the 60,000. Rams attendance falling off is 10,000 people showing up. You know what that means for him?
Huh.
It's going to work out well, at least, you know, if he's still single, because he likes titties, if you remember.
Oh, this is true. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There you go.
Mitchell Trubisky. Excuse me. Did I call him Mitch? I meant Mitchell.
I just remember it being like revealed after he was drafted that like the Bears drafted a quarterback who didn't know what a hard count was.
Really?
Like, it's not that he didn't know how to do it. It's like they asked him about a hard count and he went, "What is that?"
Did you hear about what happened to Christian Hackenberg at Jets practice last Monday?
No.
They were trying to run offensive drills and he had no idea how to break the huddle. And so then they sent him home from practice early. They're like, "You can't even break the goddamn huddle."
What did he do? He's like, "Okay, so what do we do now?" I mean, how the hell do you not know how to do that?
Was he just like kneeling there? It's like, all right, so.
And okay, he was the guy that had the inside job on the Jets practice, on the Jets job.
Standing there saying, "So now what do we do?" Or, wow.
I don't know.
How do you not know that?
He didn't know how to run the huddle. He had no idea.
Wow. That would be troubling to me if I were the coaching staff.
Send him home too. Like, it's
go home, play some Madden, and watch how they do it. Didn't know how to break the huddle.
Oh, the Jets. See, this is why
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to have some trouble reading NFL defenses.
This is why the Patriots have won that division for like 15 years in a row.
Oh, I know. They could go 8-8 this year, and they'll still win that division by three games.
I mean, it's not even like it's not because that they have been, you know, fantastic. It's just that none of the other teams know how to do professional football properly.
Well, you got to figure that they're putting 5 to 6 wins in their pocket every year just by playing in that division.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 5 or 6 right out of the gate. Okay, so all you got to do is win maybe 5 more out of the remaining 11, and there you go. You're 10-6 every single time. He couldn't figure out how to break the huddle. I don't even understand that.
I know. That's what I thought. That's what I said too. I'm like, but you're a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's something that
isn't even Penn State. Well, they play out of the huddle at Penn State. Just do what he did then.
He didn't know how to. Maybe it's something with the Jets. He just didn't know how to break the
huddle. Or I don't know. Maybe there's like a weird, like, I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's college football is weird. Wouldn't surprise me if it was like,
yeah, but Penn State,
if there was some stupid Penn State tradition or something that was,
well,
different.
Just say, this is what we do at Penn State. And then everybody goes to the line of scrimmage. Maybe that would have worked and he wouldn't have had to go home. But I see bigger issues on the horizon for him if he's having trouble finding his way out of the huddle. I mean, that's a joke you make about a guy. That doesn't really happen.
I mean, I've never actually played competitive football, but I'm pretty sure I could figure it out.
Here's the excerpt from the MMQB on Monday. On Monday at Jets camp, Christian Hackenberg was having trouble just breaking the huddle correctly. During one rep in 7-on-7 drills, he approached the line of scrimmage. A coach ordered him to re-huddle. When he broke the huddle again in the wrong fashion for a second time, he was ordered off the field.
What did he do wrong?
I don't know. It doesn't say. I guess he didn't have to go home immediately. The next time Hackenberg took the field, he broke the huddle correctly and threaded a pass 20 yards downfield for completion. So he eventually figured it out. But I guess there's a certain way that you have to break the huddle when he didn't know how to do it.
Wow. I'm looking to see if there's any video of it, like from training camp or something. Christian Hackenberg can't break a huddle right. Let's see what this guy says.
Oh, Jets. Never stop being the Jets.
He was their second round pick last year, and you know, he's trying to be the starter.
Oh, who else do they have?
Geno Smith.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like Richard Sherman said, he's like, you know, Colin Kaepernick can't be any worse than whoever the hell the Jets are going to throw at a quarterback this year.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like how he didn't even have a name. He's just like, whoever the Jets have.
Right. No, that's exactly what he said.
It's like he's fairly confident they will have a warm body under center.
Somebody physically does have to get the football snapped to them or not. I guess the center can just snap the ball backwards and drop it.
Hope for the best.
Oh boy.
I just don't even understand what that means. I mean, are they coming out in the wrong formation, maybe? Or is it just, did he not go ready break the right way and clap his hands? I don't get it.
Maybe, okay, maybe because he went to Penn State, maybe he tried to break the huddle with like a prayer to Joe Paterno or something. And he had to tell him that wasn't cool.
I don't know. All I can find is this lineman bitching about it.
Here. This is Deadspin's preview on the team, why your team sucks 2017, as they do every year. If you scroll down to the quarterback section, there's a tweet with a video just called the Christian Hackenberg experience.
Okay.
And just watch the 8 seconds of glory that is. And you'll know what the Jets are in for.
I hope this doesn't get cleared up by the time, you know, week one comes around.
It won't. Because who else do they have?
Geno Smith with the Giants now, isn't he?
Oh, Bryce Petty.
Oh, boy.
Bryce Petty's still there.
What's his name? The beard? Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is he still around?
No, he is not. Ryan Fitzpatrick is elsewhere.
Okay.
That was not a good pass.
No.
No.
That's depth chart.
That's
I need to know who else they have.
You know what, Jets? Just get the Sanchez back.
Oh no.
Hey, they made an AFC title game with him.
I still don't know how that happened. They did it twice, didn't they?
I'll tell you how that happened. The Chargers blew a wild card game because Nate fucking Kaden can't kick a field goal in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, that's part of it too.
According to this current depth chart on ESPN.com, Christian Hackenberg is your second stringer. Bryce Petty is your third stringer. Your starting quarterback for the New York Jets, if the season were to start today, I guess, Josh McCown.
Oh, of course!
Zeppo!
Zeppo, still hanging around. Those McCowns, man. I mean, we talked about who's got the most cush job in the NFL. That I won't say the McCowns have the most cush job, but boy, they sure get a lot of work, those dudes, for being marginally talented at best.
They've got to be ageless at this point. Right. I feel like they've been going around the league for at least a decade.
Oh, at the very least. I was thinking more like 20 years, but there's which one is it? Is it Luke or the other one?
Josh?
Josh, Luke, and Zeppo. Zeppo McCown. I don't know, man. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm just ready to walk off the ledge at this point. I think if there's a team that's battled the Browns for ineptitude over the past 10 years, the Jets are probably it, right?
Greg, how many seasons has Josh McCown been playing in the National Football League? You want to hazard a guess?
I'm going to say 15.
15 is exactly correct.
Wow, look at me.
Somehow.
He still has work.
Wow.
Working for 15 years.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know that he's ever gotten a huge contract, but the minimum NFL salary is like $500,000 a year.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Yeah, he's made plenty of money.
He's like the negative energy version of Tom Brady.
Wow, 15 years, huh?
He's the antimatter Tom Brady.
What's his record overall, Zach? Does it say?
He's 38 years old. He doesn't have his record here. Hold on. I'm going to look up Josh McCown career.
Not only is he still getting work, but he's currently number one on the team's depth chart.
Right. Well, I'm pretty sure that both of him, Zeppo, and the other one have all played for the Browns at some point.
Yeah, I'm pretty good because I remember a couple seasons back when one of them was on the Browns, and I was like, I thought they already did. They already tried McCown at quarterback. Oh, wait, that was the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this NFL is amazing. But you know what? I'm going to go just like what's his name? Richard Sherman said. I mean, come on. You're telling me. I mean, look, Colin Kaepernick's not like Tom Brady, but he's better than these guys. Come on.
Okay. All right. Josh McCown, 60 games started in his NFL career.
Okay. I'm going to guess his record 15 and 45.
18 and 42.
I was close. I was close.
Tom, you want to know what Tom Brady's record is?
I'm sure it's better.
208-61.
Yeah, a little bit better. Wow. I don't know.
Andy Dalton. Okay. 55-39. Matt Schaub is 48-46.
Wow. I just don't know how you look around the NFL, and I mean, Colin Kaepernick's better than McCown, right? I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way: he couldn't really be a whole lot worse.
No. I mean, at the very least,
he's younger. If nothing else, he's younger.
If nothing else, he's younger, and his play style is a bit more unique, so you might trip some teams up.
But what has this particular McCown done to warrant a 15-year NFL career?
I think he's been just good enough to not be flushed out of the league, so he's always just around when he needs a quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull him back up again. He's 13-21 at home, 5-21 on the road, by the way.
How many teams has he played for?
He has played for the Cardinals, Lions, Raiders, Panthers, Bears, Bucks, Browns, and now the Jets.
That's it?
Yep.
Seems like he's played for more than that.
One, two.
Well, there's three. Another McCown.
Yes. You always have to take into account that there's actually two of them, so it's a little hard to keep them straight.
Yeah. So this is going to be Josh McCown's ninth team.
Wow. Hey. Well, you know, good for him, man. I mean, he's not easy to do.
Career completion percentage of 59.1.
Okay.
14,000 yards. 79 touchdowns. 69 interceptions.
Oh man, I just don't get
189 sacks.
That's where the real numbers are.
Yeah, let's see. His brother Luke still in the league.
How many? Let me see if I can guess how many years he's played. I'm gonna say he's played 17 years.
Luke is younger.
Oh, okay, 13.
Yeah, 13. Started in 2004 with the Browns.
Then he had open on the Browns.
I knew it.
Yeah. Four years with Tampa, 3 years with Jacksonville, a year in Atlanta, and 4 years in New Orleans. He's only started 10 games in his career.
With a record of 3-7.
2-8.
I almost said 2-8, and I thought, no, it can't be that bad.
Yeah. 60% passing completion, 2,000 yards, 9 touchdowns in his career. Think about that. 10 games started, and he's thrown 9 touchdown passes, but he's somehow been around for 13 goddamn years.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, these guys, they're clearly not, I guess they're insurance policies at best.
Yeah.
They're the guy, you stick a clipboard in his hand, say, stand over here and don't get hurt, just in case we have a disaster of a football game where we need to bring in the third string quarterback. That's what I see them as. Not starters, not even second stringers. Come on.
And yet Josh McCown is slated to be the starter.
For the New York football Jets.
For the Jets.
Yeah. Well, here's this list that I'm looking at. So this is a list of guys. Anybody that started a game in the NFL in their career is listed, well, currently, that's on a current team. So at the top, you have all the other guys that we know of. Then at the bottom, you have guys like Zach Mettenberger, still on a team, but he's 0-10 in his career. Cody Kessler, 0-8. Jared Goff, 0-7. Josh Johnson, 0-5. Remember when he went to three teams in 1 week?
Right.
Connor Cook, Connor Shaw, Scott Tolzien, Matt McGloin, Matt Barkley is still in the league.
Yeah, he was I just heard something about him today. I can't remember what it was.
He's I forget if he's second or third string, but he's with the Niners right now.
Okay.
Joe Webb, Chase Daniel, Jacoby Brissett. He's only been in the league the 1 year.
These are a lot of names.
Oh, here you go. You want to know a name as to why the hell is this guy still in the league?
Mm.
You know who I believe he's the Rams third stringer? Dan Orlovsky.
Oh my God.
Wow.
The famous helm, guy at the helm for the 0-16 Lions season.
The guy who stepped out of the back of the end zone on a play.
Yep.
Yeah. He is still getting NFL jobs.
Wow. I guess being a quarterback's like being a left-handed pitcher in baseball. You'll find a job somewhere.
He's been in the league since 2005 and has managed to stick around until 2017.
So that, again, 12 years. You figure, like, let's just say for the sake of argument, $500,000 a year. That's he's made $6 million to do what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go run around and step out of the back of the end zone for half of that. I'd be happy to do it.
He's played in 12 games. Played in 26. Started 12. 58% passing completion. He has more touchdown passes than Luke McCown does. So that's good.
Well, now you see why Bears fans get so excited about Mitchell Trubisky and why Texans fans got so excited about Deshaun Watson and why Browns fans were all fired up again about, what's his name, Kaiser? Deshaun Kaiser. And who was the other one? Oh, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. So now I guess you get it, because if these guys don't work out, you're going to get a McCown somewhere along the way. It's almost like a rule, I think. If your draft pick doesn't work out, you've got to have a McCown for at least one season. I guarantee it's in the rule book somewhere in the NFL. Has to be.
It's just amazing how long some of these guys stick around.
Yeah.
It really is.
It really is, especially when you look at their abilities. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're like good guys to have around the team. They're kind of like, you know, more coach than player at this point. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Sure.
I don't know. All right. Well. Just don't worry, you know, folks, a McCown will be coming to a town near you soon enough. Don't think you're immune to it.
How much money do you think Josh McCown's making this year?
Realistic guess, I'm going to say about $2.5 million.
On March 20th, he signed a one-year, $6 million contract.
More power to him, man. He's not worth a dime of it, but okay. Wow.
And that's not too far off from Cutler's $10 million.
Well,
again, this was a guy that was if you have to sign a quarterback that was released by the Browns, released, you have an issue.
Yeah.
And they signed him probably thinking, okay, you know, we just need somebody that's going to be a veteran backup. We'll give the thing to Christian Hackenberg. Oh, what's that? Hackenberg can't actually hit any of his receivers.
He can't find his way out of the huddle.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
I can see it now. Like, all the players are at the line of scrimmage, and he's just sitting back there, still on his knee, looking around. Like, what do I do now? I'm lost. Help me. Someone help me. Wow. Yeah, $6 million, man. Good for him. That's and, you know, the funny thing is, in 30 years, he's going to be able to sit down and tell people, yeah, I played quarterback in the NFL, and it's going to be true, and he's going to have a lot of money.
Were you good?
We don't want to talk about that. Wow.
And the worst part is that record's not going to get any better.
No.
Not this team.
No. I think you could put him on the Patriots, it wouldn't get any better. Yeah. Oh,
and,
wow.
And the best part is he, like I said, they probably signed him just thinking he was going to be a backup. And, you know, the positive thing you can say about him in relation to the guys he's playing against is at least he can break the huddle. he can line us up, turn around, and hand the ball off. That's about, you know, that's what they can
find. Hey, that's all they need him to do.
Jets fans, yeah. This is where it's at for you these days. You're just looking for a guy that can get him out of the huddle. The rest will take care of itself, I promise.
Like, look, the Rams are bad. They're probably going to be bad again. But at least I have some sort of kernel of hope.
Right.
The Jets don't really have any.
No, I mean, I really thought the Browns were still. I think the Jets have taken the place of the Browns as the team that has no hope and nothing on the horizon.
No, yeah, I could see a world in where the Browns and all their draft picks finally make something of themselves. But
I mean, maybe Kaiser doesn't work out and all that other stuff. But you know, they've got a decent running back in Isaiah Crowell. You got Peppers and Garrett, and you've got that's another thing that kills me too. They did that deal basically to get the second round pick, and they didn't even want Osweiler. And all of a sudden, he's competing for the starting job, and I'm thinking, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is bad. But that's.
When I saw a highlight of him, like, in the game, I said, weren't they going to trade him?
I thought they were just going to cut him. Remember, they were just going to cut him loose as soon as they were able to.
Wasn't he not supposed to be there at this point?
But you know what, though? If you've got him, you're already paying him anyway. Might as well see if he can do anything. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I guess if you're a team without a quarterback,
and is he really any worse than the other options the Browns have trotted out?
Well, yeah,
I think so.
Is he really?
I honestly, to me, if it were a choice between putting the rookie out there, Kaiser, and just letting him go out and play the season, or Brock Osweiler, I'm going to take Kaiser and say, let's just see what happens. I don't know that it would be any worse. Because Osweiler, he wasn't, if you remember, when he took over for Manning, he was serviceable, but he wasn't, it was one of those things where, hey, if he got some playing time, he could be good. It wasn't like he came out and lit the place up and they said, oh my God, you know, we've got to get this guy. It was one of those, well, he filled in admirably for Peyton Manning. He wasn't bad. Maybe with some playing time and more reps, he could be a good quarterback. Well, it turns out, no, that's not the case. So, yeah, I'd go with the rookie over him. But, like I said, if you've got him and you're already paying him anyway, you might as well let him take a shot because you never know what you might end up with.
And Cody Kessler wasn't half bad last year.
He just can't stay in a game. He gets hurt too much.
Yeah,
but I just can't believe there's a team in the NFL that's in worse shape than the Browns. I didn't think it was possible.
No, it's out there.
So this is where you're at if you're a Browns fan. You're going, well, hey, we're finally ahead of someone. We're better than the Jets.
We're not the Jets.
We've got a brighter future than the New York Jets. Small steps, I guess.
I'm trying to think. Is there a more pathetic team in football right now?
Than the Jets? Yeah. I can't think of one.
Vikings, maybe?
Nah, Vikings would be okay. I mean, they're going to, you know, win some games. They'll be all right. They got a decent defense. Teddy Bridgewater's back this year. They should be fine.
No, also, in terms of patheticness, I mean, I don't know how this is going to translate on the field, but, I mean, you still got a feel for the Falcons.
Yeah. They've got talent, though. Their thing's going to be a mental problem they have. I think as far as just pathetic, god-awful, hopeless teams, the Jets, believe it or not, have taken the place of the Browns. Yeah.
Jets are the worst.
Wow.
The absolute worst.
It's a brand new day in Cleveland, folks.
Well, not the worst.
Not the worst. Not the worst. We're better than the Jets. I don't know, not better necessarily, but brighter future.
I guess it depends on if the quarterback thing works out for Chicago, but they could be right there with them too.
Yeah,
that's true.
But, okay, the question, do the Jets play the Browns?
I believe they do.
Let me see. I can get to the schedule right now. Oh, yes. Week 5.
Oh, there we go. Mark that one down as a W on your schedules, folks.
I love they have like the tickets available thing on ESPN where they have like the ticket prices next to it. And like the opening game against Pittsburgh, $69. Baltimore, $50. Indianapolis, $27. Cincinnati, $29. New York, $17.
Jeez, if it's that cheap, I might go to it. I've never been to the new stadium. I should probably go check it out. Do they play the Packers this year?
Come see if Jets quarterbacks can break the huddle.
I know the Browns play the Packers. I'm not sure if they play them at home, though.
They do. December 10th.
Ooh. Boy, I'd catch a lot of flack showing up in all my Packers gear, and I'd feel kind of weird doing it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd do it. I own the Packers. The Browns can fuck right off. I don't care. I don't know, man. It's going to be a weird season. It's going to be a weird season.
Yeah, Browns at Chargers December 3rd. That'll be fun.
Yeah, Zach, you could probably just walk down and buy a ticket for $3 and go see that one if you wanted to.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the funny thing is right now, looking at the ticket prices, that's actually the most expensive game on the Browns schedule, just to show you how they're jacking up prices for those Charger games.
Wow.
$90 is the cheapest ticket right now for that game.
Wow. Mike, are you going to go to any?
I wonder why you can't fill up the arena.
Yeah, are you going to go to any Bucks games?
Bucks games?
Yeah.
I've got no plans at the moment.
I'm just curious. I don't know if you're we've talked about a million times. NFL games are boring as shit in person anyway.
If it's probably not something I'd seek out. If someone offered me a ticket, I'd go for the experience, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it too. I don't know. Anyway,
do Bucks have any interesting home games for you? Bears, Giants, New England, Panthers. You could see the Jets yourself if you really want.
There you go, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that could be fun.
Okay, so here's the thing. We all live in a market where the Jets are coming to town. I think as a research project for this show, we should all go to our respective games.
Yeah, I'll go to the Jets-Chargers game and just...
I'll go to Jets-Browns, and Mike, you go to Jets-Bucks, and we'll report back on our experiences as we go along throughout the season.
The New York Jets. Experience.
How many botched huddles per game?
I'll be texting you guys like, oh my God, Hackenberg got him out of the huddle 3 times in a row.
I don't believe you.
break down the Hackenberg versus McCown play time.
So right.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. That's, I think we really should do that. All right. Let's wrap it up. We will talk more NFL football, I'm sure, as the season progresses here. And, we've got a NBA talking streak that we're going to try to keep alive next week. We'll see how it goes. So with that, follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Go to Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube to subscribe to the show. And you can find us on Facebook. We will see you next week.
Go Jets.
Go Jets.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Jets. Jets. Jets.